the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host and conductor of what I like to always say is the state of Kansas' number one podcast. No data to really back that up. I just claim it. And what makes it number one is not me, but my guest. And today's guest, and one I'm very elated to have, because he comes from HBCU school, which is Historically Black College and University. He is the assistant coach at Langston University, but he's also the head coach of Blessed OK. My guest today is none other than Coach John Warren. Coach, welcome aboard the A-Train podcast. So glad to have you. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Just been on the recruiting trail and been on the AAU circuit.
And, you know, I definitely have to ask, how do you manage to juggle between being an assistant coach on the recruiting trail and also hitting that road on the weekends coaching AAU teams? How do you manage to juggle that schedule like that?
So most of my recruiting I do during the week. So most of my phone conversations, text messages, I usually do during the week. And then I tell recruits, on the weekends, I don't want to take up your time. I hope you enjoy your weekend so I can have that time with my AAU kids. Because it's been a busy one for sure. But no, that's how I usually keep my recruits during the week and you guys during the weekend. But it's definitely busy.
Absolutely. So I want to look back on this past season, and then we'll get into some of your personal accomplishments. But Langston University, you guys just really balled out. What was it that made this past season so special?
I think what made it so special was how close our guys were from day one. Literally from day one, like, them guys were brothers. Like, they were inseparable, like, that's what made it special. And then the fact that, we get highly profile, highly talented guys. So when you got good talent, guys that love each other and buy into the system, it's hard to beat.
Yes, you guys made it to the national finals pretty much. Y'all came up short against LSU Shreveport, if I'm correct. Of course, LSU Shreveport, I have to say like this, we had a former player. I'm here in Wichita, Kansas. You might have known the guy. I can't think of his name, but he was a former Wichita State Shocker who ended up playing for that team. So we kind of had some connections there with him. But overall, you had some guys that were averaging double figures, at least multiple players averaging double figures. How do you manage to keep your teams and your rosters together? Because I know with NCAA, they have to deal with transfer portal. How much of an effect is the transfer portal at the NAIA level?
So, first off, with Shreveport, we actually beat them twice this year.
Okay.
We got to beat them twice this year.
Oh, that's right. Y'all did beat them twice. My fault.
You're fine. We beat them before Christmas break, and then we beat them in the round of 16. But with us, like, keeping guys, we tell guys when they come on visit, like, if you think you're going to average 20 and play 40 minutes, like, this isn't the spot for you. Like, this is not the spot for you. The past 2 years, we had six guys averaging double figures. Because you get recognized more when it's the whole team eats.
Right.
So this past year, we had 5 all-conference selections and then 2 guys that were on all-defensive team. So, I mean, keeping them happy is just like, hey, guys, like, you win, this is what's going to get you there. Like, our All-American last year averaged 15 points. He was the only All-American last year under 20 points on the first team. And that was because we went 31-3.
That is amazing. That is amazing. So,
it's all about when we tell guys, like on their visits, like if you win, like the accolades are going to come. They're going to come. But we got to win.
Right. And once again, how much does the transfer portal affect NAIA basketball?
It doesn't affect NAIA basketball as much as NCAA because we don't have portal rules and we technically don't have a portal.
Okay.
So with NCAA, like sometimes they have a 2-time transfer rule. Mm-hmm. So if they've been to multiple D1s, like they either have to sit out a year somewhere or they can play immediately at an NAIA. And most kids are like, I'm trying to play right away. I don't want to sit. So losing guys to NCAA schools, it doesn't happen often. Like we'll probably lose one this year and that'll be the first guys we lose to an NCAA school, which is Anthony Roy.
Mm-hmm. That was the one I've seen mentioned a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably literally the first guy that we'll lose to an NCAA school. I mean, and we kind of figured so because of where he came from and where he wanted to get to. I mean, his dream is to play in the NBA, and it is a little harder getting to the NBA and the NAIA.
Right.
So that's the only thing that really honestly that beat us out was him wanting to be an NBA player one day. So the transfer portal really doesn't hurt us.
Now your coaching right now your coaching journey, it's ironic because you're an assistant under the guy that, if I'm correct, as I did some of my research, you played under the guy that you're also coaching up under, and he even tabbed you as, he's like a son to me. So how did that relationship come to fruition?
So me and Coach Wright, my first year playing for him was in 2017. We were at Central Baptist in Conway, Arkansas. First time we took Central Baptist to a national tournament, we won 14 games straight my second semester there. And at the end of the year, he was like, well, guys, I'm not going to lie, like I'm leaving. And at first, me and Coach probably didn't have the strongest relationship, but like I knew Coach's vision, and I'm like, what I want to do in life, like this is the guy I need to be with. So like after 2 weeks after he told us he was leaving, I went up to his office and was like, hey, Coach, like I'm not gonna lie, I want to go with you. I don't care what I got to do, but I want to go with you. And from there, it's just been honestly the best thing. So we went to Talladega. I redshirted my first year at Talladega. I told him that, though. When I told him I was coming, I was like, I'm going to redshirt because I do want to be a pro, and I think 1 year is going to help me get to where I want to be. But then in my senior season, that's when COVID hit.
Right.
And literally right, but the day we were leaving to go to a national tournament is the day they canceled it. So it was tough. So I had an offer to go play in South Africa. But during that time, you needed 5 million shots. And I'm like, I'm cool off the shots. I'm good off shots. I'll figure out what I'll do next. And then Coach Wright called me like a month later and was like, hey, what do you think about coaching? And I was like, honestly, I either want to coach or become a high school AD. So let's do it. And we got closer as I got on staff, and literally it's been great since, going on year 8 now.
And here's the quote right here. It says, it is always special to get to coach with the guy that played for you. I have known John Warren for over 5 years now, and he is like a son to me. That quote is from head coach Chris Wright. So you've made quite an impression on him, I do believe, if that's correct.
I guess I have. I mean, I love his wife. I mean, I love his son. Like, man, I love him. And without this opportunity giving me, shoot, who knows where I would have been. So, I mean, I give all the thanks to him for even thinking about me and bringing me on his staff.
Absolutely. And the fact that you guys have actually ruled over the last two seasons the SAC conference, Langston University. So you guys are definitely on the map. Now, let me ask this question. Do y'all get to come to the state of Kansas and play some of the schools here, like say a Friends University, a Tabor, or Kansas Wesleyan University, some of the better teams in the state here?
So it's only one school we usually play in Kansas, and that's Central Christian.
Central Christian, okay.
Because they're in our conference. So that is the one team we come up and play usually, because obviously we got to. But other than that, we do not usually play any KCAC schools.
Well, maybe from this conversation, I'll just throw this out. Because if you look at NCAA, you know how you have the Big 12 versus SEC challenge. Maybe the NAIA should look at having the SAC-KCAC challenge and pit some of those teams in y'all's conference against teams from the KCAC. How do you think that would pan out?
Shoot, you put us in a mutual site, I think that'd be a good one.
And I think that's how it should be. Like, you know, when you look at these power conferences, you know, the big money people, okay, you know, yeah, they have it. All right, some games going to be played on this team's home court, some, but I think a games of that magnitude should be played on neutral sites with multiple games being played.
100%. I mean, it'll just make things better, and then, like, it's exciting. Because right, who wouldn't want to see that type of matchup between those two conferences?
Right. And I'll say four of the best teams from each conference and let them do that on an annual basis and rotate the teams that play. I mean, I would love to see that on a neutral site. So let's get this ball rolling. SAC, KCAC challenge. Because I follow the KCAC as well, too. So I'm going to go ahead and put that out there and tweet that out there, and we'll just get this thing rolling. Well, Coach, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I want to say thank you for the inaugural visit on the train ride. Thank you for trusting someone who doesn't have a license to operate a train. I appreciate that, and I'm going to let you get back to your work, because I know you got a weekend coming up. So good luck to your team, and good luck to, well, let me see, what's the name of that AAU team? It was
Blessed.
Okay, you guys go out and tear it up this weekend. All right,
I really appreciate you having me. I really enjoyed your time talking to you,
and you have an open invitation. Anytime you want to come on, just say, hey, I have something I want to get off my chest. And you have an open invitation. Appreciate you.
Nah, thank you so much for that.
Yes, sir. Once again, my guest, Coach John Warren, assistant coach at Langston University and the head coach of the AAU team, Blessed OK. So what I am going to do right here, y'all have to excuse my voice. I've been under the weather. I really should be resting my voice, but had a commitment to these young men, because I also have another guest coming up. So this train took us to the state of Oklahoma. You know how I always say city to city, state to state, coast to coast? Guess what? My next guest is very far away from here. As a matter of fact, in my younger days, I'd probably drive that trip. Now, I think I'd just go on a plane and fly out there. Who is that guest? Well, stay tuned, and you will find out later on. In between, though, we're going to have some sports news. So don't you go nowhere. The A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host, Dr. Anthony Smith.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The Glassman will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glassman.
Bring your vehicle to the Glassman just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. It is your host and your conductor, Anthony Smith. And yes, I have been under the weather this week. I had to take a couple of days off work. My voice still sounds like crud. But I hope the content is much better than the sound. Once again, I want to thank my guests for being on, first guest for being on, Coach John Warren, who's had quite an incredible journey. Shout out to Langston University. And those of you who remember me talking, you know, I told you one of the things I want to do was highlight HBCU schools, because around here in this part of the region, we get all the mainstream sports, and I want my podcast to be different. And in some ways, it has been different because I've been doing a lot of high school coverage. I've had some guests on from high schools, high school football. My guys out there at Cheney, Derby High School, women's basketball, coaches, Mays South, players, coaches. I've been extremely blessed to have such guests. That's why I always say that I have the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. And I'm pretty sure when people hear this, they'll say, well, how can you prove it? I really can't. And if you want to claim that you have the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, chances are I'm not going to argue with you. The way I look at it, we're all in this together. And we're all promoting some of the same content, making sure that these young people get their shine on, that they get their recognition. So whether it be me talking about the high school landscape or HBCU now is the case, or whether it be some of the other podcasts that I mentioned on my show, I mention y'all for a reason. If people get tired of listening to me, they can tune in and listen to y'all. So it's all love. While I'm thinking about it, before I get into some more news and before I bring my next guest up within the next 15 minutes, I have some content to share. I want to keep rocking this because we're in the month of May now. And before you know it, it's going to be June 29th and June 30th. I found out recently that I got a cousin that's going to be playing in this tournament from Oklahoma. She's with the team. So I said I would be there. Now I know I have to be there. I'm pretty sure my neighbor, I'm going to go ahead and give you her name. Her name is Destiny Mays. I know she'll be playing in this tournament as well. So I'm going to support my neighbor. I'm going to support my family, and I'm going to support some good quality basketball. What am I talking about? The I-35 Summer Shootout, which will be here in Wichita, Kansas, June 29th, June 30th, 2024. This is a national exposure event series. So you want to mark your calendar and make sure you make it out. You'll miss a treat if you don't. Some of the most talented young females, and I'm not talking about the ones going off to college. I'm talking about the ones that we're going to be seeing playing for the next couple of years. You have some phenomenal freshmen. You have some sensational sophomores. I mean, I'm pretty sure the likes of a, you may see a Michaela Askew, you may see a Destiny Mays, you may see a Maddie Vickery. These are just some Kansas names. Of course, I have a cousin from Oklahoma. She's going to be playing in this tournament. So mark your calendar for June the 29th, June the 30th for the I-35 Summer Shootout. Once again, this is a national exposure event. No, I am not getting paid to advertise this. I'm doing it because these young ladies need our support. Get out there and check them out. These girls will be some household names. You think you heard of the likes of Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardosa, Angel Reese, you thought you heard of them? You come out and check out these young ladies, because they're going to be the next whatever their name is. You know, so I said that. I'm not making them the next Angel Reese, next Caitlin Clark. Nope. They're going to be who they are. Whatever their given name is, that's who they're going to be. But they're going to be great at it. So get out. Once again, it's the I-35 Summer Shootout here in Wichita, Kansas, June 29th, June 30th. As a matter of fact, I hope to get some interviews on here leading up to that event. Something that you want to mark on your calendar, and you can say that you heard it right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. I do have another guest coming up here in about the next 14 minutes. and I'm trying to struggle through this, so if y'all want to say, "Ooh, you sound terrible," I'll give you that. I just hope that content is worthy of the struggle. Because trust me, I am struggling to get through this, but I do it for you, the people. Yes, I do. Really, I really do. I do it because I enjoy doing this. And you who listen to this, y'all make it worth me doing. Speaking of, you know, high school, you know, sometimes when I'm doing this, I like to spotlight or highlight athletes, whatnot. I am very blessed to have received my recent copy of Vibe magazine, and there are some players in there that I definitely want to highlight. Some that I've come to know, so to speak. One in particular, I'm still trying to get him on my podcast. He is just as elusive trying to get him on my podcast as he is on the basketball court. I mean, this young man, of course I understand he's a busy young man. As a matter of fact, he just recently signed his letter of intent with Butler County. Excuse me. With Butler County. Which means that for Butler County, on both the men and the women's side, they have two of the best players in the state of Kansas. They picked up Ashley Singate, who garnered some postseason awards on the girls' side in Class 5A in the AVCTL. And then they also picked up on the men's side the Player of the Year AVCTL Division I in Michael Cates. So Butler County got double the pleasure, shall I say. If that's how you want to look at it. I mean, how often does that happen that you get one of the best girls in the state of Kansas, then you also get one of the guys in the state of Kansas? And Michael Cates also has some some offers I know from at least one KCAC school, I think it was Kansas Wesleyan University, but I believe that he's taking this route because he's pretty much betting on himself and wants to position himself for maybe an upper division, such as, who knows, his journey may take him to Wichita State. It may take him to a high mid-major school. I'll put this way, whichever school gets him after his tenure at Butler County, they're getting them a complete player, one who not only can he fill it up from the outside, but he's also a good floor general in Michael Cates. And I'm not saying that because I want to get him on my podcast, but I'm saying that because I've seen him play and his game is worthy of compliments. But what I'm looking for right now are some player spotlights. And there was one in particular, because there's a lot of talented young people in the state of Kansas within the area, so to speak. And I want to make sure that they get their due shine on. And I'm pretty sure there are some other podcasts talking about these people as well too. So I'm just one in a line of many who are giving them their shine on. And here's where I'm at. So after this, I'm gonna take another break and I'm gonna get ready for my guest. But Maysouth, Michael Cates, Maysouth boys basketball team had one of its best seasons in the school's history, and guard Michael Cates was a vital component to it. He averaged 14 points, 4 assists per game. Cates said that the Mavericks' journey this season was one he will never forget. This was one of the best seasons in Maysouth, and although it didn't end how we wanted it to, I still would do it again with these guys, Cates said. Our senior bond that we had graduating 8 was special, and all of us will go on do great things in life. There were so many quality victories on Maysouth's resume this season, but there was one that was the most impressive. The win that stands out to me was our sub-state championship game, Kate said. It was the last game I would play at my home floor, and it was fun to play in. The crowd was great, everything you could have wanted in our last home game. Mavericks were one of the top-ranked teams in Class 5A all season and went to the state tournament with a title in mind, but an untimely injury derailed those plans. It was unfortunate how our season ended with one of our players, Torrey, tearing his ACL right before state, and it was tough without him losing a key piece. But other guys stepped up, Kate said. I think in a different world, things would have ended differently for us. Michael Cates, Maysouth. Good luck at your next stop at Butler County. Another young person I want to highlight, I had an opportunity to meet her. I want to say we're somewhat related now. And I say that with honor. Wichita Heights, Samaya Ellis. Samaya Ellis of Wichita Heights reached a personal milestone this season when she reached 1,000 points for her career. It was gratifying for Ellis, who transferred from Wichita Independent, because she proved she can play at a high level of basketball, making the jump 4 classes up and proving I am who I already knew I was inside, Ellis said. There were some doubts from others on whether I could do what I did in Class 2A and perform that well in Class 6A. I believe I showed I belong and look forward to hopefully an even better season next year. The Falcons, which were one of the top teams in the area, had several memorable moments in 2023-2024, but there was one that stood above the rest of Ellis. overtime win against Bishop Carroll was a big win for us as a team, Elder said. We really hadn't faced that much adversity, and to come together and get a huge win that allowed us to stay undefeated in our league was big. While Heights didn't accomplish his goal of winning a state championship, Ellis feels like this season was a good learning experience. We had a great season, and we learned so much, Ellis said. We will be ready for next season and try to complete our mission as a team. And another spotlight moment here, Circle's Kaya Thornton. Kaya Thornton of Circle will not forget her senior season with the Thunderbirds, but it's a reason that doesn't have everything to do with the basketball court. The bond she had with her teammates was indescribable. I am extremely proud of my team this year, Thornton said. We had our rough moments, but the girls and I came up on top. The togetherness of the whole team was so enjoyable. I look forward to getting to spend time with all of them and am sad to see school basketball in. Thornton averaged 13 points and 5 rebounds per game while shooting 39% from the floor. She finished her career as the 7th leading scorer in the program's history. It was so much fun, Thornton said. I love getting to see them every day and work at getting better. Many times we would get meals together before games, and that was the best. I love each and every single one of my teammates, and am so proud to see how far they have come. I try to push them as hard as I can and have good expectations so they can become a better player. There was one win that Thornton said was particularly gratifying. The win that first comes to mind is our win against Andelt in our midseason tournament, Thornton said. We were down pretty much the entire game, and we persevered and fought. It ended taking them into double overtime. Throughout the game, I was somewhat frustrated with our lack of success because I knew we could beat them. Finally, we found that success in the second overtime. So, player spotlight on Mace South, Michael Cates, Wichita Heights, Samaya Ellis, and Circle's Kaya Thornton. On that note, I am now going to take a break and get ready for my next guest. All right here on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Also, give me something wet for my throat. I'm dry. Might even need a cough drop. Don't you go nowhere. The train is still picking up a head of steam as we get ready to go pick up our next guest. Way in the state where the city never sleeps. You figure that out. Be right back.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome once again to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. I have been elated to have a guest on already. Then I highlighted a few high school athletes in the area in the state of Kansas. But those of you who know me know in my moniker, I say on my A-Train Sports Talk podcast, city to city, state to state, coast to coast. Well, guess what? I can literally say that now because my next guest resides in the great state of Nevada. I bet you're wondering, how did I find someone in Nevada? It's called social media. My next guest, all I can say about him is he has some good credentials here. First of all, his name is Zach LeMay. He's head varsity coach for North Valley High School, two-time 3A West Coast Coach of the Year, 2022, 2023, 2024, 3A North Co-Coach of the Year, two-time Northern Nevada All-Star Game head coach. I mean, and the list just goes on. He's also a former college player at UVU, Edmonds College, and Olympic College. Once again, welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, my guest from the great state of Nevada, Coach Zach LeMay. Coach, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's an honor. Happy to be part of the A-Train and looking to have some fun today.
I'm looking to have some fun, too. Like I told you before we got on here, my voice sounds like crud. I had to take 2 days off my regular job, and I'm like, I want a podcast, but I sound crappy. Then the day I got up and I said, you know what? The heck with it. We're just going to roll with it. This might be one of the best podcasts ever, even under the circumstances that we're in. And, you know, I tell people around here in the state of Kansas, I got the number one podcast without no data to back that up. But I even dropped that moniker, and I said what makes it number one is the guest I have on. So you are part of the guest list that makes this number one. I noticed on your podcast you had Sidney Moncrief on there. So my claim to fame is I've had Xavier McDaniel on mine, so we've had some star-studded players on our podcast.
That's amazing. I'm a big fan of X-Man, too, so I'm pretty jealous of that one.
You know what?
Real jealous.
we might can make that happen. All I have to do is probably give him a call, and we can make that happen. So, you know, share the wealth. I mean, we're in this podcast business together. I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I mention you, you mention me, and we make things grow because at the end of the day, we're talking pretty much the same content. But you are ladies' basketball coach. What made you decide to coach ladies' game as opposed to coaching the men's game?
You know, it's really interesting. I actually started coaching freshmen and JV boys at another school, and I always thought that I would be a men's coach, you know. And the way that happened was kind of interesting because when you're a freshman and you're a JV coach, you're obviously working under another varsity coach, and you kind of have to buy into their philosophies and their offense, whether you like it or not, right? And so it was a little bit of a difficult process for me, A, because we weren't really a basketball school, so I was kind of left with just the good athletes, and I kind of had to run a system that wasn't really best fit for that group, you know, rightfully so, to get them ready for that varsity level. But, you know, after a couple years, I just got a little bit burnt out with it, and I was applying to other schools around the area to try to get a head varsity job, and everybody was just telling me no. So I actually thought that I was going to be completely out of coaching altogether. And so I stepped away the season going into the COVID year, where everything obviously shut down. And towards the middle of the COVID year, one of my buddies got a head varsity coaching job at North Valley's High School. He had the boys, and he asked me if I wanted to be the head JV boys coach. And I said, no, not really. But then a light bulb kind of went off, and I'm like, wait, I might get a key to the gym, and I'm tired of being at home, so maybe I should accept this and be in the gym and be around the kids again. So I accepted. But then when I accepted, he said, by the way, the girls varsity position's open if you want to go apply. And I said, okay, basically, because I thought it'd be a quicker process to go get that key. I didn't think I'd actually get the job. And it ended up being where I walked out of that room as the head girls varsity job. And it's been just the biggest blessing in my life ever since. And it's been a little bit of an easier transition because I had two older sisters that played pretty high level basketball. And I got to say, it's just, it's been a wonderful experience. And there's such a group, great group of kids, great schools. I couldn't be more blessed. So to answer your question, I know it's a lengthy one, but it's kind of an accident, honestly.
But it was a good accident. This accident didn't hurt, but it actually helped. And you're in a position where you can still give back. And the one thing I'll say from my experience, now, I hadn't stepped foot inside of a high school gym probably since I left high school. Maybe, I'll say at least 30 plus years. And I was invited. So my first invite was to a boys basketball game. And when I went there, it was like in-town rival game. And the atmosphere was kind of like these people remind me of the Cameron Crazies at Duke. So I tweeted that out. Well, the next game I was invited to was actually a girls' basketball game. A good friend of mine is here who's coaching. And I was impressed by how his girls played. He had a starting five. Then he would sub in about 3.5 minutes in the second five. And I'm like, defense. And the one thing I noticed, it seemed like in the girls' game, they play with, I don't want to diminish the boys so much, but it seemed like the girls' game, they play with so much passion and so much desire as opposed to the boys' game. What's your take on that?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think it's different passion. I don't know if necessarily passion's the right word, but for me, just from my experience, there's a much more togetherness in the girls' game, and they're a lot more willing to sacrifice for the team and accept roles, and they just want to be a part of something special, and they want everybody else to succeed too. And so I've noticed that when you have that togetherness and everybody's bought in, and you can kind of get girls to buy into that bench energy role and stuff, it makes the game really fun. And right. I think with boys, you know, it's a lot more, I'd say isolation, a little bit more, they get in their bag a little bit more, as some would say, mm-hmm. where as the girls, they almost do things almost too robotic where you're like, no, you need to play more free. Please don't do what I just said, you know? So, right. It is a different game, but at the same time, like, it's such a special time in women's basketball right now that there's so much competition everywhere out there. And it's just really awesome to kind of see that growth and that passion in the girls' game now.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, and you know, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, you hear about the Caitlin Clarks, you hear about Angel Reese, you hear about Cardosa Watkins, you hear about all that, but you have to, you know, you have to go back to even some of the groundwork that was laid when it comes, especially when it comes to women's basketball. You take like Rebecca Lobo, Nancy Lieberman, how about even most recently, say Maya Moore, who one gave up her career to free a man out of jail, who she is now married to. I mean, these are some of the people that have paved the way, and if you want to go back even farther, someone whom the NCAA should include her accomplishments in the record books of Lynette Woodard.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that's some of the groundwork that was laid. So now you look at the landscape, and even at the high school, because around here in the state of Kansas, I was blown away by some of the talent, and I'm not talking about the senior class. I'm talking about freshmen, sophomores. I've seen the game, and I'm like, wow, this is like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese right before my eyes at the high school level. What is the AAU scene like out there on the West Coast in Nevada? Because I know coming up here in Kansas, June 29th and 30th, they have what's called the I-35 Hoop Fest, which is going to be a national exposure event. What events do they have out there in Nevada?
Well, you know, it's interesting is, you know, we're in Reno, Nevada, and everybody thinks we're a lot closer to Las Vegas than we really are. And we're really not that close. We're a solid 8 to 10 hours away from Las Vegas. And so we're all the way on the north side of Nevada. So northern Nevada itself, the AAU circuit is not like it is, you know, where you're at or like L.A. or some of those big cities. So for us, I started our own club team connected with our high school program to where we can go travel and go play some of these bigger city schools in the AAU circuit. And you would not believe just how big the eyes get from the girls. Like, oh my God, this is like a whole different world to me, you mm-hmm. know? So, It's really not what it is in the big cities. So, and I grew up in the AAU circuit, so I already kind of knew that. But I will say that the basketball itself is getting a lot more competitive just because basketball is getting a lot more popular, both on the boys and the girls side. And Reno is growing as a bigger city, so we get a lot of those teams come over from like Sacramento and everything. But if you want to get the real competition, you got to leave the state and go in those big city tournaments for sure.
Right, because that's one of the things I noticed right now. I'm like, okay, basketball season's over. What am I going to do now? And then I'll find out they have these elite teams under 15, under 16, under 17. I'm like, oh, they still playing. And they're playing these weekend tournaments. I'm like, okay, that's how these girls are getting better. So, and I mean, they have it for the guys as well, too. But, you know, the fact that I was invited to the girls game and seeing how they play with so much passion. So let me ask this question. Who are some of your coaching influences? Who do you pattern some of your styles after? I mean, I know some will probably automatically say you can't mention women's coach without mentioning the Tennessee legend Pat Summitt. And then you look at how Gino Auriemma took the mantle and had his UConn Husky teams that's on the roll. Now you look at Don Staley and so many names. Who are some of the ones that influence your coaching style?
You know, it's interesting because I have a different respect for every single type of coaching. I mean, obviously there's Pat Summitt, like you mentioned, but then in the Genos. But then when you look at some of the coaches like the Greg Popoviches and the Bob Knights, like they're complete polar opposites.
Right.
And so or like a Brad Stevens, where I think I'm a little bit more maybe like a cool, calm, collected type until, you know, we're in the heat of the game and, you know, I'm trying to pump people up. But like to answer your question, like there's so many different coaches out there that I really admired, but I didn't try to be somebody that I'm not. I didn't try to go be a Greg Popovich. I didn't try to go be a Pat Summitt. Because when I did try to do that at the lower levels, kids aren't stupid. They can kind of read through that. And so I think what really helped with the girls game is that they taught me how to be my authentic self. And like, I guess the real question is that I'm just myself. Like I really don't try to have a certain style. I really don't try to, you know, run certain things or run practice a certain way. I kind of adjust my players and see how they're kind of feeling it out. And I've been myself, and it's worked out for me so far ever since I've done that. Because I could probably say I'm probably the worst boys coach of all time just because I tried to be somebody that I wasn't. And the girls kind of helped me be a better coach, I think.
I have to ask this because I was listening at your podcast. Now I can't think of the young lady's name, but it was when y'all, I think y'all did April the 24th, and y'all was highlighting a young lady who happened to be, I guess she was the best player ever, come out of Northern Valley. Could you elaborate on that young lady?
Yeah, so we had a woman named Ashley Orndorff on the podcast, and she's one of those people that holds quite a few of the state records. She has the all-time rebounding record. She at one point was the all-time scoring record, and she was really the first big blue chip female athlete that we had come out of this area. She was recruited by pretty much everybody, especially on the West Coast. And, you know, she also kind of joined the AAU circuit when it was fairly new and freshly new. And, you know, her story was interesting because she was sexually abused by her AAU coach when she was in high school. And so her story doesn't end as happy as most athletes do. She went through kind of a series of sexual abuse that led into kind of a drug-related problem and, you know, all sorts of issues. And she's just now kind of overcoming that and speaking her mind. And, you know, what's really impressive is that she probably could have gone on and been, you know, a big time college athlete or maybe a WNBA player. But what she's doing now to kind of raise awareness for sexual abuse and what she's doing with her art and all the other wonderful things that she's doing in her life. It's really kind of amazing to see her bounce back for everything that she went through. But I mean, yeah, she was a problem. She played with my sister, and growing up watching her play is really kind of what sparked my interest in women's basketball. Honestly, she was that first player where I watched. I'm like, wow, you know, these women can hoop. She was something else. She's a 6'2", whatever you want to put her at, right? I mean, she was the ultimate Swiss Army knife for sure.
Absolutely. So with that being said, How do you see the college game going moving forward? I mean, I know you're at the high school level, but I know you check out the – but a lot of fanfare was centered around, you know, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. I mean, those are the first two names that come to mind because, you know, they were linked together from the John Cena hand gesture, you can't see me. Well, now they've gone on. So do their success carry over to the WNBA? And is there a drop-off at the college level as far as interest is concerned? Because now you have to wonder about, okay, were we watching because of Angel and Caitlin, or were we watching because it was good quality basketball? Because if you notice over the last couple of years, their national tournament game picked up record viewers.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, for me, like, I understand losing a Caitlin Clark from the college game or an Angel Reese hurts the college viewership, maybe initially. That's like what we might think. But if you kind of look at, you know, history, every time that we lose a superstar, a new one kind of comes up. And it's like that person pays the way in a different way. You know, like in the early 80s as Bird Magic, when everybody thought the NBA was in trouble, and then they kind of paved the way. And then all of a sudden you got this kid named Michael Jordan coming in. And then they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do without Michael Jordan? Then LeBron James comes in. Now we're worried about what about when LeBron leaves? Now we got Giannis or Luka. So, I mean, I think all these players watch the greats coming up, and I don't think it's going to be any different with the women's game. I think, you know, like we had Taurasi, and then we had other women, and now that we have a Caitlin Clark, I think Caitlin Clark adds kind of a whole different dynamic and dimension to girls basketball's creativity. And now you see all these girls want to be like Caitlin Clark, and then you see how competitive like an Angel Reese is, and now I see girls all the time kind of doing the John Cena, you know, or starting to be a little bit more chippy and like, you know, John back and forth. And I love it because they kind of set a standard for the women coming up. So I think the women's game is only going to grow. And I think the Caitlin Clarks are going to do a fantastic job in WNBA with, you know, her passing ability and her scoring range. And I mean, if you watch a lot of those Iowa games, she'd make some of these amazing passes that teammates might not be ready for, maybe not capable of finishing, like somebody on the WNBA level would be able to, you know, catch or finish that. So I think Caitlin Clark will be just fine. I think it's going to be an adjustment like any player. And I think with Angel Reese, how competitive she is, I mean, she kind of reminds me like a female version of like a Draymond Green maybe, and Draymond Green has had a pretty dang good career. So I think they're both competitive enough to continue their success.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, I want to thank you for joining me on my podcast. And you know, I might have to be a guest on yours one day. although I'm not nobody, I'm just someone that just runs my mouth. But I really appreciate you being on here, taking the time out of your busy schedule. It's been great. You've actually carried your show because that saved my voice a little bit, so to speak. So.
Hey, well, the way your voice is now, that's how my voice is all throughout the actual basketball season. So I totally get it. So you're doing great, my man. And I just really appreciate you having me on. This is an honor. So
and it's an honor to have you on. So like I did my first guest that was on, I'm gonna let you know right now, you have an open invitation. Anytime you wanna hop on and take a train ride from Nevada to Kansas, just say, hey, I'm ready to hop on the train. So
hey, I'm always ready for that train ride. So anytime you need me, I'll be happy to.
All right. Once again, my guest on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, Coach Zach LeMay, all the way out there in Northern Nevada, Reno to be exact. So once again, we say thank you. Well, I've had some fun. I've had some great guests. And it's only going to get better. But I'm about to bring this train into the station. I mean, yeah, there's probably some more I could talk about, but I need to rest my voice. But I enjoyed my guest first, John Warren. Then Coach Zach LeMay. Between those two guests and spotlighting a few of Kansas's good athletes, I think we had a pretty good show today. that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring this train into the station. Rest my voice. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Like it. Share it. But until the next time, you take care of yourself and each other. We'll be doing this again. Hopefully my voice will get better. Thanks for listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast with your host and your conductor, Anthony Smith. I'm out.